Naomi, take it from your old and dusted, not new hot stuff, beat up, worn and torn, dragged out, waste of space, senior citizen brother.
You mean a
Sometimes
millennial?
a millennial. No, we're saying the same thing. You're just paraphrasing. Sometimes you want to look back on your past by digging through piles of crap you've accumulated and either reminisce or think to yourself, Jesus Christ, I have come a long way.
No, and you're completely correct, but I'm not the type of person to keep things around that don't fucking matter to me. I would like to preface this by saying we are talking about Google Drive and the fact that I was paying like $2 a month that I didn't need to be spending on keeping old documents, photos, videos, all like duplicates, all stuff that was like related to me in high school, slash like documents from my undergrad and stuff like that. And Joel's
And
like,
you
why
know,
don't
if
you
you
just pay the
weren't spending
man?
$24 a year, you could buy a house. That's the problem with people
That's
your
not.
age.
That is not what I'm saying, but I am getting into the practice of watching my nickels and dimes. And I would not like to be spending $24 a year in order to keep old dumb shit that I don't need. And Joel's like, oh, just pay the man, just do it. And I'm just like, no, I don't need to be paying Google and Apple, two separate giant companies, for data space. Like, I can keep my digital footprint under 15 gigabytes just for Google not to freaking charge me. Plus, I
Naomi,
have my.
I heard that Tim Google is having to cut back expenses. He's had to fire half his yacht staff. He's having to downsize to a 200-foot yacht. You don't want Tim Google to go bankrupt. That would be the end of this economy.
He only has one chef. His chef doesn't now have another chef to cook for them. So he's going bankrupt. I can feel it like in my bones. He's really affected by my $24 a year.
I think this bit isn't going anywhere. I will just wrap it up by saying that I still have a lot of crap around my house. For instance, there is a poster that we put up in our school in 11th grade where I was Sir Valentine in Two Gentlemen of Verona, and one of the girls in my class did a little picture with all of us as chibi versions of ourselves. And I like to think that was the truest realization of William Shakespeare's work. Anime cutesy-ified versions of two like horny guys trying to get some ladies in medieval England.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Well, with that, listeners, welcome back to another episode of Why Won't No One Date These Guys? It's because we talk about dumb shit like this. We love you so much for coming back for another
Well,
episode.
also because
If
we
you're
just
new
accrue a lot of
here,
shit and have like six storage lockers full of junk.
yeah, if you're new here,
Do
this
we
is a
talk over each
podcast
other?
where we talk over each other. I'm Naomi Guy. That's Joel Guy. Joel, do our intro because I totally forgot
I'm
what the new
talking
one
to me.
is.
I don't know. You did a pretty good job. Yeah, we discuss relationship stuff, and sometimes we get lazy and do a cop-out episode, which is this one, where it's not that we haven't prepared, it's that we haven't prepared as much as we normally do. And so we decide to just riff. And when I say riff, we read stupid questions from our Am I the Asshole slash AITAH, and I don't know what that acronym stands for. And we discuss kind of the logistics and the dynamics of relationships that some of these posts naturally sort of beg the question of. Am I
Maybe
saying
it's.
words at 7 p.m. at night? I don't feel I'm stringing them together as eloquently as I normally
No,
do.
you definitely are. I just think that AITAH is Am I the Asshole? Like, hole is a different word than asshole.
Maybe. Okay, sure. We'll go with that theory. Naomi, let's not delay anymore. We're 4 minutes in. Can you give me your first question of the evening?
Yes, Joel. Am I the asshole for wanting to break up with my girlfriend after finding out the truth? I am 30 male and my girlfriend, 29 female. We've been dating for 2 years now. I recently took my girlfriend on a getaway weekend. Nothing fancy, just a 4-day weekend to the Hilton Hotel, going on fun outing she mentioned she wanted to do, like ice skating, dancing, painting, and other fun activities. I'm in love with this beautiful woman. Before we started dating, we worked at the same job together and had been friends for a long time. I soon grew a crush on her because she was so cool to talk to and be around. I was also friends with her ex-boyfriend. They've been broken up for a year or two by the time I started liking her. And I wanted to ask her ex-BF, since we were friends, if it would be okay if I asked her on a date. He said absolutely and had no problem with me and her possibly dating one another. A day later, I asked her to a drive-in movie theater, and she said yes. And after that first movie date, we made the drive-in movie theater our weekend thing, and we would also go out to eat and or to comic conventions or anywhere we spend time together. One day I wanted to make it official so that she could be my girlfriend. She said she wanted to remain just friends. Although it hurt a little, I was absolutely fine with her decision. We still continued our weekend movie nights and outings. But every once in a while, she would show signs that she liked me. She wouldn't let any other women talk to me, or if I mentioned a girl I thought was cute, she would say under her breath, "She better stay away from my man." So catching these hints, I stopped talking to other girls and didn't bother to ask any girl out, thinking she wanted to go out with me. I asked her to be my girlfriend again, but again, she said she just wanted to be friends. A few weeks later, she would quit the job we worked at together and found a new job, but we would still hang out on the weekends. One day, I was out running errands and saw her on a date with someone else. I didn't approach them, of course, but I have a rule not to go out to movies or any other date like activities with a girl who has a BF or is dating in respect for the boyfriend. So I stopped inviting her on her weekend hangouts without telling her why. She didn't mind because her attention was on the other guy. I wanted to give her and the guy I thought she was dating their space. 3 months passed of us not texting or hanging out, and out of the blue she texted me asking if we could hang out and catch up and chat. I said yes, of course. We did, and we started hanging out again, going to the movies together, and she would come over to my place almost every day, and we would catch a movie until 12 or 1 a.m. And once again, she would drop hints that she liked me, but I wasn't going to ask her out a third time just in case I was wrong. If she liked me, she would ask me out. After 4 months, she finally did, and she said yes almost immediately, which brings us to telling me after our weekend getaway that the entire time we were hanging out before we got together, she was dating and sleeping with other guys. And around the time I asked her ex-boyfriend if I could date her, they were still sleeping together while we were going on drive-in movie theater dates and spending the weekend together. Even during the months of her coming over to my place and hanging out until midnight after the 3 month gap of us not talking, she was still sleeping with other guys. She told me she didn't want any other girls talking to me because she liked me the entire time we were hanging out, and she wasn't ready for a relationship. But when she went to her new job, she jumped into a 4 month relationship. Even the night before she asked me to be her boyfriend, we went on a date, and she slept with a guy, and she was hoping for a second date with him, but he ghosted her. She told me she liked that I was nice to her, but wanted to have sex without any attachment, which is why she slept with other guys while we were hanging out. The beginning of the relationship, she told me she danced with other dudes at the club while out with friends, kissed a guy, and would get in random dude's car when she needed a ride. So am I the asshole for wanting to break up with her after finding out she used me and making me her last resort?
Good Lord, this was a Dostoevsky novel. It didn't end. This question, it's like a slice of life, so detailed, so rich, full of metaphors and allegories and all the adjectives and adverbs here. Yeah, I don't know, it just felt very long. I don't know, man. I this feels very clear cut to me. Yes, you're not the asshole. She seems to have been using you. I guess the more interesting thing I want to dig into is what we think about her behavior. What do you think?
So, okay. I understand the casual dating thing, mainly just because, that's just the way that the world works right now, is, like, everyone casually dates. I would say that, like, that makes sense. I don't know why she's being so, you know, like, controlling of this person. I don't know if that's something that it has, you know, her own thing going on, or what if she's just, you know, a jealous person. But my question is, why would she, like, if they were casually dating and she thought that they were just casually dating, why would she then go on to tell him about it in the end? Like, I feel like that would only make things worse. Like, when you're casually dating someone and then it turns more serious and you cut off those other people and you guys decide to be like just be dating each other, do you go back and talk about those types of things with the other person? If you do, why? That's kind of where I'm coming from.
I think the answer is an example of the phenomenon, which is like grass is greener syndrome, where this woman was tentatively interested in this person to date. And I don't really have a question about that. I feel that's the case. But she also was interested in dating / sleeping with a lot of other people. And she wanted to kind of put a bookmark or a reservation in on that guy and be like, hey, don't see other people. But she wasn't willing to commit because she like thought that there were better options out there. And once she had kind of like seen all the other things that were out there or tried to date those other people, been rebuffed, she was like, okay, I guess this first guy is okay. And in a like gesture of goodwill and honesty was like, hey, by the way, I've actually been seeing people the entire time. Now, I mean, all of that presumes this isn't fake and like a whole, oh, women suck, women are the worst kind of, you know, fiction post that you sometimes see on these. But I do think both men and women do this thing where like in the world of casual dating, it is easier than many people think to kind of string someone along for a long period without committing to them, just in case you find something better in the meantime.
No, I definitely agree. But at the same time, at the very end of this post, which I understand if people had tuned out at the end, but I'll just reread it. It was a long post. I get it. It says, apparently at the beginning of the relationship, she had also been like talking to dancing on other dudes at the club while she was out with friends, kissed a guy, and would get into random people's car when she needed a ride. So that was the point where I was like, okay, all these things up to this point, yeah, she's a smidgen of an asshole. You shouldn't be in a relationship with her. But that was the thing that kind of pushed her over the edge where I was like, yeah, this is a full-on asshole situation. She is, because she like knew that she was in this relationship. She was like, okay, I'm finally going to settle. And then she went out and still did those things with other men because she was still looking for other men's attention. That was the thing where I was like, okay, yeah, she's the asshole in the situation.
I don't know, like getting into cars for rides. Ubers are expensive, man. Do what you can in this tough economy. But
That's completely fair.
This guy, assuming this is all honest, you know, it feels like he's very much in the right. Unfortunately, there are people like this out there. You know, if people can't dedicate time to you but expect you to, like, still be available for them, it's very possible they're just stringing you along, right? Someone who's deeply interested in you as a partner is going to make time. They're going to commit to you. And unfortunately, I do think there is a smidgen of truth to what Steve Harvey says when he's like, it's important in relationships when men profess their feelings to you, or it's important to have some kind of like verbal expression. Yeah, if, you know, the person, you know, isn't willing to say, oh, you are my partner, that probably indicates their feelings are somewhere else.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. I don't think that people should be in a relationship with people that are, you know, willingly wishy-washy towards even just the beginning of the relationship. Like, I get it. Casual dating is, you know, what it is. But at the same time, it's kind of easier, like, to say after a couple of dates, hey, I would like to proceed in this relationship. Not even say like, oh, we're just exclusively dating, but like, I have the intention of updating you eventually kind of thing. And not in the sense of it has to happen, but in the sense of like, I am, you know, I'm interested in you. And that doesn't happen. Like, it's kind of like this game of chicken that we play all too often.
True. Okay. Am I the asshole? Husband wants to divorce because I'm not excited to go to the gym. This was posted a couple weeks ago by Kingle Fart, user Kingle Fart on Reddit. So I, 30 female, married my husband, 35 male, in July of last year. When we first met, I was into lifting weights several times a week, rock climbing, and previously had an NASM personal training certification. He loved that I was so active in the beginning of our relationship, but that's changed for a few reasons. He became very controlling over my workouts. He insisted I went in the mornings with him, and I hate morning workouts, and that I do all these specific workout routines with him. He did not want to compromise on either of these issues. One of the workouts ended up permanently damaging my back. When I was single, I really enjoyed working out in the afternoons, doing my own exercise routines. That changed when I started dating him, because his mindset was, if we're not going to work out together, I guess we might as well do everything separately. I got on birth control, and I immediately had bad mental setbacks. I was depressed, lost my interest in doing things, and began to gain weight. I tried to push through and go anyway, but really struggled to get off the couch. I was very communicative with him about how it was affecting me mentally and emotionally, and he seemed to take it to heart. He once drunkenly called me fat, among other things, and said it's no wonder you don't post photos of yourself on Instagram anymore. You're huge now. He does not remember saying this, but I do, and it really makes me resent the gym for my workouts not having the same effect they did pre-birth control and up to the point he said this. He's told me several times I lied to him about who I was when we first met, that I'm not now active enough for him, unproductive, unexcited to go to the gym, and it's not the kind of wife he wants, so he wants a divorce. In the months since we've married, I've gone through a job change and have also moved across the country with him. Both have been stressful situations, and that stress has sapped a lot of my energy. I recently switched my birth control in hopes of mitigating the depression and lack of desire to go to the gym. I did it for myself as much as for him, but I really wanted him to see it as a step to fix the issue he brought up, but he hates how inactive I am. I've also made it a point of going to the gym with him every morning he asks. We've done 3 trials at 4 gyms this month, and I've gone with him every time. I've said several times in the middle of the workout how good I feel, trying to show my enthusiasm. I also walk my dog for at least an hour a day. I get a lot of steps in while I'm cleaning our apartment and running errands. We also play the Frisbee together as often as I suggested. I try to be as active as I can right now, given our tight budget after a big move. Tonight, as a continuation of a completely unrelated argument, he brought this up again, yelling that I'm lazy, unexcited for the gym, unproductive, and that all I do is sit around. I tried to point out the improvements I've been making, but he's dead set that we're incompatible because when I agree to go to the gym with him, I'm not excited. I genuinely feel like I made steps in the right direction, but maybe I'm overestimating my actions. Am I the asshole?
Okay, there's layers to this. There's so many layers to this. I'm going to say she is not the asshole. I'm going to say her husband is the asshole. I'm going to say that when you get married and you decide that you're going to be long-term with a partner, that you need to understand that your partner is going to go through a lot of changes. It sounds like they're in a giant transition period. It sounds like she is active. She's excited to be active, but she needed to take a break for a variety of reasons. A big move, back injury, birth control, all of these things are affecting her workout and her daily routine. And it takes a while to get back into a routine, especially after you've moved. So I'm going to say he's the asshole. She married the wrong guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where my brain is. I kind of wanted to bring this up, not because I thought there was a lot of ambiguity here, but because I think there's an interesting discussion about expectations when it comes to a partner gaining weight. And I think of it kind of like this. There's this saying that you as an individual and a member of society should care a lot more about how we treat homeless people in society than how we treat millionaires and billionaires, because the likelihood is far higher that you're going to become homeless than you're going to magically, wake up one night and be a millionaire/billionaire. And I think in the same way, it is very possible that you might marry someone and they stay the exact same weight the entire time that you're married to them and remain, just as stunning and perfect as they were the day you met. But it's far, far more likely that the person you marry is going to put on some weight, whether it's due to spending more time at work, whether it's due to medication, whether it's due to getting pregnant and having children. Right. And, that's for women. The same could, of course, apply to men. And I guess the point I'm trying to make here is, it's important that you date and marry someone who isn't trying to get you to maintain a certain size the entire duration of your relationship. It's unrealistic. It can be somewhat abusive, and it sounds kind of like he keeps pushing and nagging her into doing something she's deeply uncomfortable and doesn't enjoy. And it is kind of sad that, it seems like she has good qualities that he's just ignoring because he wants a wife who's quote-unquote physically active.
Why do you think it's personal preference, or do you think it's because of societal preference that he's doing this. Because, like, I could definitely see, I'm not trying to, you know, back him and play devil's advocate. I'm just wondering, like, from the side of, like, do you think that this is a consistent problem because he thinks that everyone's judging him, or is he judging himself for being with someone that he doesn't find attractive necessarily?
I don't give a fuck. Right?
I don't either, but like, I just genuinely ask myself these questions every day.
Yeah. Like, look, I've continuously recommended the show BoJack Horseman on this podcast, and I will plug it once again. And I think one of the lessons that the show kind of beats into you consistently is, yeah, a lot of people grew up with trauma. A lot of people develop bad habits and behaviors as a result of trauma. A lot of people do bad things as a result of their experiences and how they've shaped them. But at the end of the day, that doesn't really matter. What you do is, like, ultimately how people understand and judge you in society. And so I don't really care if this dude, you know, has work colleagues who are making fun of him, or, you know, grew up and have this, you know, obsession with an Arnold Schwarzenegger-like body, and that's driving him to, like, force his wife to do the same thing. Because at the end of the day, he's just being a dick. And the thing is, like, it's not even that, like, that she's not working out, and she's doing that, which I think is somewhat unnecessary too. It's that she's not doing the things that he thinks are the best forms of working out, that he thinks are ideal. And that's stupid in its own way, because, like, there's a lot of fitness people who will tell you that, like, men and women can't do the same exercises and achieve the same, you know, weight loss or muscle growth. You know, their bodies are slightly different designs, and so you need to, you know, alter the exercises in order to, like, actually meet the strain and demand necessary to build muscle or lose weight. So it's ridiculous to me that he's like, you have to do the exact same things that I do. Also, I would argue that, like, the things that a lot of men think are physically attractive in men are not things that men would find physically attractive in women. So building up the same muscle groups seems kind of silly. This is stupid entirely. And yeah, I definitely don't think she's the bad guy. It's just frustrating to me that, you know, this even needs to be a topic where someone's like, am I in the wrong for not maintaining a size zero through, you know, depression and, you know, tumultuous life events?
Yes, Joel, get fired up. We love it. Yes, go in.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much else to talk about this. I just thought it was interesting. Obviously, like, weight is a big thing on dating apps. And again, I just want to reiterate, like, it's okay to have standards, but, like, you need to understand that, like, most people, again, will not be able to maintain the standards that you have over time. So this idea that, like, you're going to expect that everyone in your life is, you know, exactly the same attractiveness in the future is unrealistic.
No, I completely agree. Well, I just have to finish up by saying, I don't mean to, like,
yeah.
That wasn't a point of, oh, let's, like, dig into the psychology behind this. I'm mainly just, like, asking this because in relationships in the past that I've had, it's like, oh, he's being a dick because his friends that he's surrounding himself with are dicks. And so if he gets rid of those friends, then he's, like, he's still a shitty person in the first place for saying those things. But you would cut off the problem at the source. If that makes sense. That's what I'm trying to get at. Let's move on. Am I the asshole for admitting?
I don't know. It's 2020 door, Naomi. Don't try to fix his friends. Just leave. Don't try to become the person he wants you to be. Just leave.
You're in a marriage. If it's salvageable, great. If it's not, 2020 door it. Moving on. Am I the asshole for admitting in front of all of my husband's friends that I've never had an orgasm? Recently was my husband's friend's birthday party. It was a bigger party, and all of my husband's friends and their wives were there. No kids. One woman that I'm friendly with was annoyed with her husband and joked, "Men, if they didn't get us off, why would we keep them?" And she laughed. Ha 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 ha. I awkwardly laughed, but I guess I looked uncomfortable. She asked me what was up, and she pointed out that I made a weird face. I said, "I've never had an orgasm before, so I guess I couldn't relate." Almost a dozen people looked at me when I said that. It was super awkward. The wife then awkwardly asked, "Is everything okay down there?" And I said, "Yeah, but just never had anyone try, I guess." For the next 10 minutes, all of my husband's friends took turns insulting him in various ways. Many women talked about how they'd never been married, how they'd never be married to someone who didn't get the job done. My husband made us leave early. When we got home, he lectured me about how I humiliated him, and I pointed out that she asked, and I had a tendency to be honest. He's been really upset the last several days, and he keeps saying that he can't talk to his friends because they now think badly of him. Am I the asshole for being honest here? Edit. I brought the issue up countless times in the past. He tells me it's not important / not a big deal that he doesn't get me off. Since it's not that important, I just don't see why I have to hide it like it's some kind of dirty secret. Ooh, this is a good one. I like this one. Joel, give me your perspective.
I think it is not polite to discuss your sex life with your partner in front of other people without having cleared it with them before. I think sex is a very intimate thing for a lot of people, and regardless of what you say, they could be easily offended. And so it's important that, like, you check their feelings regardless of what you want to say, because they might feel embarrassed or weirded out, whether it's, hey, my partner's genitalia is huge, or he's never given me an orgasm, right? That can lead to feelings of shame and embarrassment and weirdness. So, like, tend to avoid that sort of thing. Now, what I find interesting is that there's this first comment, which is kind of misogynistic, which, okay, sometimes people say that, whatever, like, jokes can be jokes. And then the wife is like, oh, and the woman's like, I'm sorry. And the wife's like, oh, it's nothing. And either the friend was, like, prodding and completely unnecessarily, or the wife was making, like, a much bigger deal about this than, like, else. Because I can't imagine, like, someone, like, rolling their eyes or, like, looking confused, and someone who just made that joke being like, let me probe intimately into this person's sex life. I need to understand everything they're saying. So, yeah, the woman says this thing. She responds and is like, well, I've never orgasmed before with my husband. And it feels like she was setting the husband up for failure. It doesn't feel that she was innocent in this. I can imagine a situation, but it seems unlikely, where, like, she was innocently stating these things, but there does seem to be an element of vengeance in it, especially given her edit. Now, with all of that said, the husband is also a dick, because, as the edit says, he just doesn't give a shit about her orgasming. So this idea that he would be all offended is like, oh, well, of course I could give my wife orgasms, when, like, he's displayed no interest in doing so, indicates that they have some serious problems in their sex life. And, like, this is the sort of thing that, like, maybe they need to go to therapy over, or maybe they need to, like, sit down and discuss very earnestly, because he doesn't give a shit. She's more than willing to air the dirty laundry, which means that they're both upset and angry, and neither of them get what they want. The husband being perceived as either a good provider or someone who can provide orgasms, her having a happy sex life. Like, this doesn't seem like a happy marriage, and they need to fix something. So I don't think she's, like, a huge asshole, but there's definitely a lot of asshole behavior embedded in this.
No, I would agree, but I also, let's just say that this is, like, this post is completely true, and there's not any subtext, and there's not any extra stuff that was happening behind the scenes that she didn't talk about. I would definitely say that my biggest issue with this is just the fact that, like, the guy was so offended by it. Like, I get that, you know, it's an issue to talk about these things in front of his friends. I get that. Like, it's not, I understand that. Like, in that way, she was being the asshole, and instead of just, like, being like playing it off and be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I get that. I appreciate her honesty in that situation and being straight up and not just, like, getting rid of it and saying, oh, my husband is the greatest person in bed. But I also don't necessarily understand why he decided that he wasn't going to talk to her for a few days, act childish, and then on top of that, act like her sex life didn't necessarily matter, and that his orgasm was more important than hers. It's interesting to me that she can't orgasm, because a lot of women can orgasm. It just takes, you know, a little bit more persistence. Yeah. But my issue is that he has, one, never tried, and she like, there could be other issues that go along with that. Like, I'm not saying this is the situation, but it could be, like, you know, in certain situations of sexual abuse in the past, that's an issue why people tend to not orgasm. It could be an issue, like, biologically, where she just, like, cannot orgasm. Very unlikely. But what I'm trying to say is, I think there's a little bit of assholery in both of them. The man being the bigger asshole because he's never made his wife come. And that's my POV.
I don't think we're disagreeing.
Yeah, I know. Give me one, Joel. Okay. Tell me about
anything else? No. Cool. I'll give you one.
Okay.
Am I the asshole for telling my husband he needs to give me half his company if he wants me to be a housewife? This is posted by Status Mention 6793. My husband and I, both 35, and married for 6 years. We have 2 children together and 1 on the way. He said that he wanted me to be a housewife and stop working. I was very disturbed by that, but he explained that it was better for our family and children since he can afford a very good living. After a few weeks thinking, I told him I would agree, but only if I get half his company. He was surprised by this, but I explained further, the more I stay at home, the less chance I would have to find a well-paying job should we ever divorce, because I would have less merits, while he would stay making more money every year. So I want half of the company. If we never divorce, which is the goal of all marriages, then it wouldn't matter, but should it end, it would be the price of me staying home and raising our children so he could be less worried and stressed out. His words that he would be less anxious and stressed out if he knew they were with me rather than with strangers in daycare or nannies. When I told my friends this, they called me the asshole. My best friend was very angry and called me disgusting, so I am taken aback a little.
Okay. This is what you may call a post-nuptial agreement. This isn't, obviously, it doesn't sound like they've written this up in, you know, an agreement, but of course they also didn't necessary. It doesn't sound like they talked about it before the marriage. At least she didn't include this, if they were actually going to, like, have her stay at home. So this is something that would happen, like, this is post-nup. This makes sense. Okay, moving past that. She is very smart for doing this. I don't think she's the asshole. I think that she is smart because it is an insurance policy. I heard something great recently talking about, oh, like, it's not sexy to get a prenup. Okay, great. It's not sexy to get a prenup. I understand that. But it's not sexy to get car insurance, and we still get car insurance. We get car insurance because we don't want it to happen, but, you know, there's still a possibility of getting in a car crash, and that's why we get car insurance. And that is why I'm a firm believer in prenups. This is going to be a little bit harder to negotiate because they're already married and she's already been in this agreement of sorts, you know, as the housewife for a little bit. So that makes sense. But I don't think she's the asshole for doing this. I don't quite understand why her friends had such a visceral reaction to this. That's where I'm kind of confused about it. But I think she's really smart. And I don't think she's the asshole.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the friends might have had a visceral reaction because women are, in many instances, deathly scared of being accused of being or associated with gold diggers. And I think women have this, like, new notion that, like, they have to be fiercely independent to prove that they're not with men just for their money. And, I don't know if that's, like, fully accurate. I think that there's many happy relationships where, like, the wife makes no money and the husband provides, or the wife is the one who provides and the husband is the one who stays at home. And even the concept of quote-unquote gold digger behavior is something where often both parties are happy with the arrangement, where, you know, a hot something, you know, 19-year-old will, you know, marry a 65-year-old man who's much wealthier and can provide all the nice things that they want. I'm not saying there cannot be coercion and abuse in those relationships, but often there is some sort of implied agreement when they, you know, enter that relationship. So yeah, the friend's reactions make sense to me, but it is, you know, kind of annoying when, like, her logic seems very clear. I think even without the logic, you could infer a lot here, but it's even more helpful because she provided, like, a very straightforward explanation. We've discussed how likely men are to leave their wives compared to wives leaving men. You know, if someone gets an illness, if someone, you know, has a horrible injury, if someone finds, you know, a hot, sexy coworker at their work, or at the daycare you take your kids to, right? Like, all this stuff could splinter the marriage. And, you know, it's not unreasonable to ask for, you know, some buy-in from your husband to support your doing the onerous task of raising children at home. Yeah, discuss finances with your partners. It's awkward, as Naomi said. It's weird. It's gross. It can feel upsetting. But at some point, you're going to have to sit down and share budgets. You're going to have to share financial goals when you both want to retire, what you both, you know, think is, you know, a fair budget for things like Christmas presents, all that stuff. It's easier than you'd think. And once you do it, you really don't need to have follow-up conversations, maybe, you know, for a couple of items. So don't be intimidated by that. This woman seems pretty straightforward, and now it's maybe indicative of her husband's feelings if it ends the relationship, because it's like, well, what did you expect, bud? You're asking her to give up her life in order to support you and raise your kids. One could imagine you might do the same for her.
Yeah, I just don't understand why her friends had such a visceral reaction. Moving on! Am I the asshole for not wanting a divorce after cancer? Joel, it's in the chat. I, 35 female, and my husband, 36 male, have been married for 8 years. Together for 11. We've got 2 kids, 6 and 8. Last year, I was diagnosed with cancer. Although the treatment was brutal, I pulled through, or so it seems for now. The truth is, things have not been smooth for the past 5 years or so. I've been trying to fit in what my husband sees as ideal life, living in remote locations and adjusting my life to make it work for us as a family. His life is to live by the ocean, far from people. I'm a city girl. For the sake of making it work for both of us, I've taken jobs that are well below my abilities. For him, though, it doesn't look like it's what I wanted. Oh, sorry. For him, though, it does look like it's what I wanted. It was, because at that point, it was the only available thing given the compromise. My husband was living his dream life, not even realizing that my resentment was building up. I did bring this up many times, but he was dismissive. Things blew up 2 times. He saw me flirting with another guy. I never kissed anyone, but it was an emotional betrayal, probably. I gave up alcohol 3 years ago to make sure I'm always in control and don't do stupid shit that can ruin my relationship. My husband is a good father. I've never had a father like that. He loves our children and they have a great relationship. So do I with my kids, but he isn't a great partner. He asks me every day about my day, but never really listens to what I say. He keeps talking about his work, but doesn't notice me. He makes a lot more than me, 7 to 10 times more, but insists that we pay everything 50-50 to keep it fair. During the past years, I've been covering more expenses than him, but I was working full-time during my treatment. He never offered to pay for any extras. In his books, there were years and my pregnancies where I was paying less, so now it's fair that I pay more. I don't feel emotionally connected to him at all, and I don't want to have sex with him. I have a history of abuse, and I need emotional connection to enjoy sex. But for the past 5 years, he's only been touching me if and when he needs sex. I've given in so many times and cried after because it felt like I betrayed myself. But I had to do it because he needs it, and I'm a spouse. So now, I've been still contemplating divorce for over 8 months. I'm out of treatment and I don't know if I'm going to stay healthy for a long time, but I'm tired of compromises. He is a nice guy and we're planning to start therapy, but I just want to live a new life. Therapy seems like a burden to me. Am I the asshole for wanting a divorce?
You know, I think some of our listeners who have listened to a couple of these episodes might be like, oh, they always side with the women. And, you know, the men are always wrong, the women are always right. And then you get the questions like these, where it's like, my husband treats me like shit. And all the men's questions are like, am I the asshole for wanting to divorce my wife because she won't give me blowjobs anymore? It's always, like, petty, stupid shit. So you have a husband who makes 7 to 10 times as much as you. And if we say, were to accept this woman makes, you know, the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, we're looking at a husband who's making like $200,000-$300,000 a year, and he forces his wife to split all these expenses like 50-50. Like, this doesn't really feel like a marriage. Okay, they have some common interests and they take care of the kids. But outside of that, it's like they're co-workers who show up for the task of like raising kids. There's no sense of intimacy the way she portrays it. I imagine there's another story from a husband, but like the facts as presented here seem pretty explicit that like they don't really care for each other. He's using her for his own ends. She's putting up with this for a while. And the cancer diagnosis and her facing death made her reevaluate and be like, hey, my life's kind of shit. I should, like, seriously reconsider the things in it and whether or not they make me happy. And I totally buy that.
I have such an issue with the fact that they split everything 50-50. I would think that if someone is making 7 to 10 times more, that they would, you know, figure out, like, let's just go with the logic of them having two separate checking accounts and then paying like their, you know, expenses, their monthly expenses through their own personal checking accounts. It seems as if they're paying 50-50, that's one, dumb because she can't afford it. But two, it's like, why would you not renegotiate that in this, not even renegotiate, just rethink it in the sense of like, okay, if I'm making 7 to 10 times more than my wife, I should be taking on 7 to 10 times more expenses, or equate them to the amount that every person is bringing into the relationship. My next problem is that she worked through her cancer diagnosis. She worked through the cancer treatment, and he's gonna be like, oh yes, let's have sex, and like, let's, I need sex, and
hey, tell you what, honey, I'll 50-50 you on the cancer treatment, okay,
dude? I was thinking about that too. Oh my god, I was like, why the fuck is this happening? And I just like don't understand it. She's literally compromising so much of herself because he wants to live this life, and he doesn't, it's him. The world is him centered. And it's just insane to be hearing this story. I'm like, this is so dumb.
No, I do think that there's one thing that stands out, where she mentions that, like, he saw me flirting with the other guys. I never kissed anyone, but it was an emotional betrayal, probably. And I think that's interesting, because, like, she's admitting fault here. And it seems, at least by the phrasing of her post, that he was like, oh, my heart, my feelings, I'm so betrayed. I want you to give up alcohol, and I will continue having sex with you. Right? Like, if this was as, like, emotionally devastating to him as like she's making it out to be, or like she's trying to seed that like there were problems that led to his resentment, he could have broken up with her. He could have started the divorce. And it sounds like this started before she was diagnosed with cancer. So like he has had the opportunities to exit this relationship if like she was at fault at different points. But no, he seemed perfectly happy keeping this relationship going. So like, I'm not going to pretend this woman is like a perfect blameless human being, but like also, the way she's telling it, it feels like there's a lot of resentment that her husband has built up over the years that he has done nothing to try to resolve.
Yeah, this is just super ugly. I think this is so dumb. Like, this is such a dumb situation. And I just, like, cannot believe the amount of people. I just can't imagine the amount of people that are in relationships that are just like this, and have to go through this every single day and have to compromise themselves in order to be in a relationship. Like, that's so, I question why there's so many married people. And I understand the divorce rate is 50, but I also am just like, how is it that low?
Yeah. I understand this isn't how it works. Like, divorce cases, you appear in front of a judge or you have like an adjudicator and that's how they're settled. But I kind of want them to be settled in front of a jury, and the jury's just listening, be like, wait, what the fuck did you say? Jesus Christ, he was forcing you to work full time during cancer treatment? And yeah, I could imagine the asset divvying might go a little more in her favor if they were able to hear some of the stuff she's relaying.
Yeah, dang, her marital, like, what do you call that? The money that's given to the spousal support, that's what it's called. Spousal support would go through the roof if it was in front of a jury.
Okay. For telling my husband, I told you so, and laughing at me when we got the paternity test results. I think she means laughing at him. Either Economy793 posted this on Reddit. I, 27 female, been married to my husband, 28 male, for 2 years and gave birth to our daughter 5 weeks ago. I'll try to keep this short so I don't waste your time with any irrelevant details. What happened is that our daughter came out with blonde hair and pale blue eyes, while my husband and I have brown hair and brown eyes. My husband freaked out at this and refused to listen to my explanation that sometimes babies are born with lighter hair and eyes that get darker over time. He demanded a paternity test and threatened to divorce me if I didn't comply, so I did. After my daughter and I got home from the hospital, my husband went to stay at his parents' house for the first 3 weeks to get some space for me while I recovered, and he told them what was happening. My mother-in-law called and informed me that if the paternity test revealed that the child wasn't his, she would do anything within her power to make sure that I was taken to the cleaners during the divorce. I had my sister to lean on and help me take care of the baby during this. We got the results back yesterday, and my husband came home to view them with me. I was on the couch in the living room, so he sat next to me and we started reading the results. They showed that he was the father, and my husband had this shocked, kind of mortified look on his face with his eyes wide as he stared at it. I couldn't help but say, "I told you so," and started laughing at the way he looked. My husband snapped out of his shock and got mad at me for laughing at him. We argued for a bit, which was mainly him yelling at me before my sister came downstairs and my husband shut up. After that, my husband went back to his parents' house to clear his head, and 2 to 3 hours later, my mother-in-law called to scold me about laughing in my husband's face, because apparently it was kicking him while he was down. She's also left a couple nasty texts, essentially saying the same thing this morning. I don't think I'm an asshole, but I'd like an outsider perspective on this. Edit, since someone asked in the comments, but I can't find it anymore, I have zero history of cheating.
Hey. So here's my
I share something? Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I do want to share something that is kind of informing my perspective on this.
Okay, go ahead.
I saw this tweet earlier. I can't find it again, but it was a repost of someone who back in 2020 was spreading conspiracy theories about COVID changing the DNA of their kids or changing your personal DNA. And they were like, "Oh, the government's, you know, giving you COVID vaccines that are going to like modify your DNA, and you need to be prepared that if your like baby comes out looking like an Asian, it's because they're preparing you for the new Chinese world order." Which, okay, like obviously racist, obviously pseudoscience bullshit. But the person who reposted this was like, "Did all these COVID changing your DNA conspiracies come about because someone had cheated with their husband and wanted to hide the fact that their baby probably would not look like the husband because they might have Asian descent or another ethnicity that the person was not married to?" Food for thought.
That's actually a really good point. Oh my god. People always have their own agenda when it comes to tweeting shit like that, I gotta say. Okay. Let me start from the beginning. Here's my POV. I have two things to say. The first is, I'm going to go in order. Him leaving his wife, who has just given birth, to go and stay at his parents' house is disgusting to me. I understand that you are mad. I understand that. And if you think that this is, you know, an issue in your relationship, that's great. Go stay on the couch. Go sleep, like, in the guest room. I don't give a fuck. Your wife just went through something extremely traumatic. The person that you love, that you told you would devote your life to, you said, "Oh, in sickness and in health," or whatever the fuck your vows were, you chose to marry that person. And even if she did give birth to somebody else's child, that woman is in pain. That woman just gave birth. Why the fuck are you not staying and taking care of that woman? The second thing that is very obvious to me is the fact that he is not ready to be a father.
No.
That was all I had to say. I'm so mad at this.
Clay, like, this is also a very good argument for why you need comprehensive sex ed. Or, you know, requirements that people attend some basic parenting classes. Because, like, this is really obvious information to anyone who knows anything about babies, right? Like, when Naomi was younger, she had very dark hair that turned blonde. And then it turned dark again. And then it kind of shifted around. It was very weird. Her eyes.
I don't think that you are going through history the same way I did. I popped out with the brightest fucking hair you can have, and then it got darker. What are you talking about?
My own version of events. The other weird thing was your eyes. Your eyes were, like, changing color over time. They were, like, green, and then they became kind of darker, and then they were blue briefly. I swear I'm not making this up. It is a thing that happens to children, and especially, like, I believe African-American children come out often with very light skin that darkens as they age. That's not to say that's true all the time, but like, this is a known phenomenon that if you had attended some parenting classes might have come up, maybe day one even. I have no idea. So yeah, it's yet another argument for like giving people basic ideas of how the world works, how basic biology works, how human beings work. It's frustrating that this even needs to be an argument between a couple.
Yeah, I don't really think there's much else to say on this topic. He's clearly not ready also, to be like, a father. Oh my god.
Oh boy. Getting your mother to like rant in place of you. Like, I'm not saying that he asked her explicitly, but like often I feel you'll have a good idea if like your mother is the type who will berate someone or like defend you. And the idea that she's just like, well, my little special boy is crying, so I need to, you know, go defend him to his bitch wife, who probably cheated. But yeah, he's not ready, and it seems like the family is also, like, not ready. They don't like her, and they're jumping into conclusions. Either, like, he's the biggest mama's boy in the world, and they trust everything he says, or they never liked her to begin with, and this is just justification for, like, getting rid of her as a new member of the family.
No, I definitely think that's what it is, because it seems like one, like, you don't have to be liked by your, like, your parent-in-laws, like, your in-laws, but I don't think that this was the right way to go about this. Like, even then, there has to come, like, a certain sense of, like, women sticking together, where I don't think that that was even a thing when, like, his mom was like, oh, well, you obviously cheated and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not directly what she said, but, you know, she kind of talked away around it. Anyways, I think this is done, and I think we should move on, and I have the perfect one for one of our last Am I the Asshole posts. Am I the asshole for divorcing my wife because I found out her body count? I, 27 male, have been married with my wife, 28 female, for 8 months now. When I married her, I was told to believe we both still had our V cards because of religious reasons. But yesterday, whilst we had some friends over, we talked about how young kids these days have their first time and don't really wait until marriage anymore. To which my wife responded with, waiting till marriage doesn't make sense anyways. There are so many safe options now. I chose not to respond and just listen whilst our friend group had a discussion about it. Later that day, I asked my wife if she regrets waiting until marriage, to which she responded, I didn't wait. I wanted to tell you, but I never felt comfortable sharing it. I have to admit then, I got furious and said things I regret saying, name calling, etc., and told her to leave my house. Her parents lived 10 minutes away. I feel like I've been manipulated and that I've been keeping to myself for nothing. We had been dating 7 months before we got married. When she returned the day after, I asked her what her real body count was, and she told me she was with me, that she told me it was with me included 17, to which she added that most of those were only one-time things, and nothing felt more like real love than with me. I told her that she had a month to pack her stuff, and we were getting a divorce. Thankfully, we signed a strong prenup that stated that in any divorce, no matter the reason, our assets would not be divided. She agreed because she is the only grandchild of a very rich grandparents. My friends and her family have been blowing me up saying that this is no reason to divorce since it was nothing to do with our relationship or marriage. But I disagree. If I knew she hadn't had her V-card, I would have never married her. Edit. Since I was unclear, she flat out told me she was a virgin too when we started dating. I told her I was waiting till marriage. After that, I didn't explicitly say I wanted a wife who was not also waiting, but there was no reason to since she was a virgin anyways. To clarify, I also was upset about what my wife said about waiting till marriage. That's why I asked her about it, but the topic, as you read, soon changed. I hope this is the last edit. The issue isn't her not being a virgin, as I've stated in one of the comments. It's about her not waiting till marriage, whilst I did. If she married and divorced all 16 of those guys, that would have been fine.
I'm sorry. It makes sense, but my brain is hurting. The issue is not that she isn't a virgin. It's that she didn't
wait. Till marriage. And that if she had married and divorced all 16 of those guys, that would have been fine with me. He said, although if you had 16 divorces, I'd probably not be the 17th guy.
Morally consistent. This dude's morally consistent. I can't even be mad at him. There's not a blemish on his worldview. Look, she's probably better off. Like, look, I don't know if this is, like, supposed to be a parody exaggeration of, like, what men are. And again, some of these are probably fictional. It's hard to tell. But, like, it's also very likely that this is something a man did. Look, virginity is an important concept to certain people. Certain individuals have it in their mind that, like, the most important time to have sex is immediately after you get married, and it's probably going to be the worst sex you ever have because neither of you have any sort of experience, and you don't understand foreplay, and you probably don't have a good grasp of the importance of lubrication. But no, it's going to be great if on your wedding night you bleed all over the wedding sheets or the whatever, you know what I mean. So all good to them, and you know, if that's something that's important to them, wonderful. It seems really, really stupid if it's so important to you to not ask in advance and be like, hey, just checking, you know, like, we're both virgins, right? Like, just making sure. But even then, it's like, good Lord, dude, if you're happy with this person and all other aspects, but there's one thing, it seems so stupid to blow up your life over. I don't understand it. I know this is going to resonate with some people, but like, this is messy.
Here's my issue with this. How did he think that on their wedding night, when she was just bouncing on that dick, that he thought that that was a virgin? That was my only question.
You're presuming a lot, Naomi.
I am presuming a lot.
You're presuming this woman was actually good at sex, right?
You're so right. There are plenty
of women who have high body counts who aren't great at sex. So, like, it's nice of you to assume the best, but, like, yeah, look, if virginity is important to you, this is something you're going to have to talk about with your partner, because it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, right? Like, and it's awkward and uncomfortable, and I'm sure it's not a conversation you want to have, even if you are sexually experienced, but, like, good Lord, if this is what your entire relationship is going to end over, you would think you do the bare minimum in advance. Like, this really feels like it's on you, bud. I'm not saying his belief is inherently wrong, I'm just saying he's stupid. I don't know if he's an asshole, he's just an idiot.
I'm not saying he's wrong, I'm just saying he's stupid.
It's like, oh, I am allergic to peanuts, and I want, you know, a wife who, you know, isn't going to feed me peanut butter. And oh no, she fed me peanut butter in our wedding cake, and I died. It's like, no, you'd think you'd discuss that, right? You wouldn't just presume because your wife never brought up peanuts that, like, she had never consumed peanuts before. I didn't mean to choose an example that sounded so closely to penis, but I guess it does, so it works quite well.
No!
Can we go to this one? Do you have any closing thoughts? This just has me scratching my head. It's difficult for me to understand the psychology of this individual.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah, let's move on. This is, it's self-explanatory. Yeah. Who's the asshole in this situation?
Okay. Would I be the asshole if I exposed my boyfriend for cheating on Christmas? Me and my boyfriend have been dating for about 4 years, and out of those four, we have been living together for 1 year. Just recently, I found out he's cheating on me. This happened once before in the past, and he swore up and down it'll never happen again, but here we are in the same situation. We've been doing Christmas in my parents' house every year, but this year he was really adamant about having it at his parents' house this year. After a little bit of back and forth, I gave in and decided to go to his parents' house. I bought him some concert tickets for an artist I don't really like, but wanted us to spend time as a couple on something that he really likes. I was going to surprise him with the tickets for Christmas, but now that I know he's cheating on me, I was planning on including screenshots of him cheating on me as a present, too, for him to open in front of his family. Would I be the asshole if I expose him to his family on Christmas while the family is opening presents?
Okay. One, this is great payback. Two, I think it's like a great way to like expose him, but I don't think that I feel like it would be awkward. Like, what's the next move? Like, do you just like leave after that? Like, what do you do after you like, he like opens it and he's like, oh, you know, I'm cheating. Like, what happens then?
Yeah, this feels, look, we've talked about this. Media definitely plays a role in how people will see and understand the world. And this really feels like a dramatic moment that she's like seen in a bunch of romance novels or in romantic movies where like some partner is outed and they're like, ooh, 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 and you look like the hero and you're brilliant and everyone respects you. And that's not going to happen here. It's not going to turn out the way you want. You're, you know, say 100 miles from home at his parents' house. All of his relatives are suddenly mad at you because instead of enjoying Christmas morning, now they have to deal with this shit you've just brought into their house. He's mad at you. The parents are mad at you. Even if they think you're right, they're going to be mad at you for, like, blowing up this family holiday. It's no longer the holiday where we first got together after Grandma died, or I don't know, something probably happened.
Oh, my God. Later.
It's the holiday where, like, Jeff's girlfriend broke up with him and decided to, like, spill the dirty laundry everywhere. I don't think she's in the wrong for having these feelings, but it's just not going to work out the way she wants. And I think she should be mindful of that. Like, yeah, dramatically exposing him isn't going to manifest exactly the reactions you want. You can't control most people's reactions. And honestly, I would say if it's just texts, there's a non-zero chance he could spin this around and make you look crazy, right? Like, be like, oh, what are you talking about? That's my friend from work. Right? When we were talking about, you know, meeting up, it was for the big project. When we were talking about smooching, it's our inside joke about, like, the 49ers. Or, I don't know, men are good at coming up with lies on the spot. I wouldn't presume that you have, you know, perfect evidence that's going to convince everyone anyways. So yeah, like, there's never going to be a great time to expose someone for cheating. There's never going to be a great time to talk to them about cheating. I think probably the best bet is, like, start packing your things. Get out of the house, text him once you're gone, be like, I know, get over yourself, and you move on with your life. It sucks, it's not convenient, it's not going to give you the satisfaction you want, but it's also not going to be horribly awkward to make you feel like a villain when you're not in this story.
And here's your advice. Always, when you're buying concert tickets for somebody else, make sure you also like the artist. So just in case you want to take back those tickets, you don't feel bad about spending $300+ and not being able to use them.
When buying concert tickets, pay a little extra to get the refundable option, right? Because, you know, it's very possible you're going to have to break up with the person you purchased the tickets for. And you want to get some portion of your money back.
You're so right.
Yeah. These are the hot tips people come to our podcast for. You won't hear this shit on Joe Rogan. You won't hear this in therapy. This is the real deal.
Hear this in therapy? Oh my god. We should become therapists. We should become therapists and just give people awful advice.
Don't we do that already? Oh, but
we're not therapists.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Joel. Think big.
We need to be on like Cigna's list of approved insurers. You know, every episode we could be charging our, you know, half dozen people who download it, you know, like $30 for the session.
Exactly. Okay, party people, thank you so much for coming back to another episode. We would like to remind you that we have a Patreon. So if you could do us a huge favor and go and subscribe to that, that'd be awesome. We also understand that you can't right now. The economy sucks. We understand that. So if you could, it would be really awesome if you could, in exchange, kind of, you know, give us a like, give us a good comment on one of our plethora of streaming platforms. That would be really super awesome. We really appreciate it. We'd also like to say that we aren't pocketing any of the Patreon money. We actually donate it every month. And Joel, remind me where we're giving it to this month.
I'm glad you brought that up, Naomi. Here on the Why Will No One Date These Guys podcast, we have this weird belief. And that belief is genocide is bad. And
crazy.
We've been kind of morally consistent on that, I feel. You know, this episode's coming out mid-January, so there'll still probably be, you know, some atrocities going on around the world. I don't imagine, you know, everything's going to be cleaned up and perfect by that point. But just in case, you know, everything is pitch perfect and everything is at peace and there's no problems, we do just want to say that we were ahead of the bandwagon when it comes to genocide. We have always felt that genocide is bad. So we are opposed to all genocides, especially the one going on in the United States right now, which relates to trans people. And we've been donating money to a organization that helps give funds to trans individuals fleeing states, mostly the United States South, but unfortunately there are a lot of other states passing really horrendous trans bans. We think it's really important that, like, everyone be able to live and not forced out of their states or homelands, that children not be forced to suffer because adults decide that they aren't deserving of dignity and happiness. Obviously that statement applies to a lot of things, including the good people of Palestine who do not deserve to be genocided. So yeah, we've been pretty adamant that genocide is bad. We think that genocide is bad. I'd like to underline the fact that genocide continues to be bad regardless of whether or not you agree with us. It's still a bad thing. And our money that we get from Patreon for doing this and doing special things for you is going to support a belief system of genocide being bad. So thank you for listening to my rant about why genocide is bad. I'm putting together a TED Talk that's pretty much just me repeating that phrase over and over again and underlining it a few times. Yeah, we are doing our best to support all communities, not just the trans community. The trans community is the one that gets the money from this podcast, but believe it or not, we do push funds in the direction of other deserving groups as well. So thank you for listening to my spiel. Hopefully you've not turned off the podcast. I hope this is more interesting slash important than the 15th mattress ad you've heard in a podcast this this week. We also are not financed by Squarespace, so I'm not going to give you a spiel on that. We're sponsored by Anti-Genocide. Thank you, Anti-Genocide. We appreciate all of your support. Thanks for not genociding.
Joel's really trying to get listen to censored. Our podcast,
if you genocide, listen to our podcast. Suck shit.
Joel's really trying to get censored by every single one of our platforms, and that's okay. I stand with him, and I stand against... Say it, Joel.
Suck shit genocide.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, party people, we love you very much. Many kisses. Wear a condom, and as Joel said in one of our past episodes, grow a mustache. At this...
We have many thanks for the use of our theme music, which is the song Drop by Ketza. You can find more of their music online at ketza.uk. You can also find Date These Guys online on Twitter and Instagram at Date These Guys or visit datetheseguys.org. If you have questions for the podcast or want to be a wealthy sugar parent, send an email to datetheseguys@gmail.com. If you're looking to make an impact in the world, this show strongly recommends Planned Parenthood, a nonprofit organization that provides reproductive health care in the United States. Planned Parenthood provides birth control, long-acting reversible contraceptive implants, clinical breast examinations, pregnancy screenings, prenatal care, testing and treatment for sexually transmitted infections, and abortions. They also do great work for those who are lower income. 4/5 of their clients are at or below 50% of the federal poverty line. Both Joel and Naomi are monthly donors to Planned Parenthood. We hope you will be too.